Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Let's Grow.Work, hashtag LFG fam, where success is in the details. I'm your host, Justin Bonnet. Today's special guest, we got Samantha. Samantha, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, my name is Samantha Wright, and I own two auto repair shops. One's in Georgia, one is in South Carolina. I'm a mom of four kids, a little bit crazy, a lot of ADD.
Yeah, the ADD is definitely what keeps us going, or at least I feel like it is, or at least, you know, for me. That's awesome. So you have two shops. You said Georgia and South Carolina. How did you do that?
So we get that question a lot. There's actually three of us in the partnership, and one of my partners, John, lives in South Carolina. So the plan from the very beginning was to have two different states, two locations, and then kind of grow from there. Otherwise, I never would suggest it because it's a really long commute between the two stores. But we're able to kind of divide and conquer and keep up, you know, remotely with Google and that kind of thing. So
that's really, really cool. Yeah, thank goodness for technology. And obviously, let's back it up a little bit. I don't know anything about your background, to be honest, other than you have the auto place. So what is your background? How did you kind of get to where you're at?
So, I mean, how far back do you want to go? Because it could go all the way back. That'd be a really long, that'd be like therapy. So I'll just kind of start like how I got into the auto repair industry.
Okay.
I was fresh out of a divorce and working at this restaurant in Midtown and looking for something that was a little bit more 9 to 5. I was actually in school for nursing and had put it on like a pause because my kids were so young. And so an opportunity came up for me to land like a receptionist job in a performance shop in 2017.
Okay.
And it was like right before the kids started school. So it was perfect because I could, you know, get them on the bus, go to work and then come home. Instead of driving to Atlanta. So I took it. I didn't know anything about cars. It was, you know, supposed to just be me answering the phone and making, you know, a little paycheck while, you know, I got back into school and just kind of blossomed into something where I kind of found a niche. And so I've been doing it for, like I said, 8 years now and just kind of carved a space out for myself. Yeah.
The fact that 2017 is almost 8 years ago is ridiculous in itself.
I know. It's, yeah. Time flies. It's insane.
It really does. Do you mind sharing what performance shop?
So I started in Markert Motor Works.
Okay.
We were known for like BMW tuning, performance, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so it was actually, yeah. Justin, or you guys probably know him as Black. He and I had been dating for a few months at the time, and he was good friends with the owner, and so he was kind of like my in. And I did not know anything about cars. I remember like I'd memorize like the camber angles for his car, for Ebony, so I can kind of get some credibility. And then people would come in and they'd throw out like the chassis codes and the engine codes of the BMWs that we were working on. I didn't know what any of it meant. So I made like a spreadsheet so that I can memorize like, what does an E36 mean?
Yeah, good.
And I found if I could at least like kind of get over that hump, then people would think that I knew about cars and they'd kind of chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it worked. So
that's awesome. That's a genius way to do it, right? You played your cards right for sure. So leading up into the business partnership, how did that idea blossom into what it is today?
So that was a really long journey. As I kind of grew and developed in, you know, as an employee in the industry, I really like found that, you know, going back to the nursing school thing, I was able to fill a lot of that need to help people, but instead of with patients, with cars. And then I realized like, I don't have to go to school to make good money, which is something I really thought. I'm actually a high school dropout and never finished college or anything like that.
So awesome that you've gotten to where you are.
It was something I really like pushed to work through. I used to be kind of ashamed of it. Now I'm like, I'm proud of it. Except for with my kids. I'm like, don't you dare. you guys have to finish school. But kind of was able to check the same boxes off that, you know, that I wanted to do with like the medical field and with nursing. But instead of with like sick patients, now you bring me your car and really just helping people. And so that business grew and developed. And I, you know, moved my way up. I went from reception to service advising and then managing. Back to service advising for a little bit. And then after I had my daughter in 2020, I came in as the corporate trainer and got to really dig in and help people. And I honestly just hit a ceiling that I couldn't get through. And, you know, just wanted more, wanted to like put my hands in things and build things more and have more of like an impact. And I couldn't get a promotion. And so I promoted myself. And it was something that I started planning, and it was like kind of dip your toes into it a little bit and see like, you know, what if I did start this? And I would convince myself, no, that was, you know, not safe to do it, or, you know, just stick it out a little longer. And it was just, you know, over the years, just more and more of not getting what I needed. And so I just did it myself. Best thing I ever did.
That's awesome. Yeah. How's it been going? So you did, you started in Georgia first, I'm assuming?
Yes. Yeah, we started that shop August of 23. And it's like, I can't keep up with how fast it's gone. My head spins. It's weird. It's also, it's kind of a strange place to be too, because I'm so used to growing shops like for a business. Mm-hmm. And so now I get to do it for myself, and seeing like how quickly it can like happen. I have a great team. So my partners, John, Victor, and I, like we work a lot together and really divide and conquer. And I couldn't do it without their help, but it's crazy how fast it's gone. And I'm also like, I have to balance my impatience because I want it to go faster, if that makes sense. So I'm like learning to like slow down and enjoy the journey. Yeah. Yeah. I want to snap my fingers and, you know, like each store is just like printing money. And we've gone really fast, I'll tell you that, but yeah, it's just been so rewarding and so fulfilling.
That's really awesome. How do you guys delegate the day to day between the three of you all? Does it, you know, do you have like a set spreadsheet of who does what?
So we're working on the spreadsheet. I'm actually a spreadsheet queen, and I used to not be, but I am like a big like list maker, and I like organization. I really thrive off of that. But from the very beginning, we really kind of carved out like what each person is responsible for, and really building off of strengths. Like Victor he's the smartest person I know. Yeah. And so he helps, you know, he helps with our finances and accounting and our admin stuff. John and I kind of divide the managing tasks between the two stores, but then we fill in needs where the other, you know, one is good at, you know, one thing and the other is good at another. I did take over training just because that's my background and I'm really passionate about it. Okay. And so I'll train both stores. We'll do remote training. And, you know, create a lot of systems and SOPs and processes and stuff that we can use across the board, make life easy for everybody, make things really consistent. So it's, and then every week we have a meeting, just a partner meeting. We've done that for 4 years now.
Okay.
Where we just hop on a Google call and talk about like, what are we working on this week? What do we need help with? What's progress on, you know, project look like? And we've done that since before the store is open. So really? It's something that we've really baked into our culture. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I think it's important. Like you don't want to like kill and overdo with the meetings and just, it's, you know, mundane, but like to go over and just stay in touch, especially when you have two different states, I think is really important.
Yeah. Well, and just like check in with each other and see how we're doing and, you know, just keep each other motivated and keep each other on task. I think that's one thing that we've really done well too, is we haven't treated this like a cool job, like a business that we started. We can kind of hang out. Like we've treated it like a job.
Yeah.
But this time, like we're on our own bosses, but we don't really give ourselves leniency. You know, like we hold ourselves accountable, hold each other accountable, just like if we were in a corporate setting. And we don't really plan to be corporate, but there's a lot that you can gain from a corporate structure, you know, and so we use that to our advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very well said. And, you know, we go back with that at the shop as well. It's like, we don't want to be corporate, but there's reasons why corporations succeed. And again, like going back to the standard operating procedures and things like that. It's like really implementing that. I was talking to another guy that owns another shop that's detail and like PPF yesterday at Southern Fresh. I did take a shower. I just haven't taken my wristband off yet.
They are waterproof.
I'm still riding on the high from that show. But he was talking about they've been in business for like 7 years and they just kind of like threw it together and it started gaining momentum. And then like now they're kind of going back and restructuring to really build it. And sometimes that's what happens.
Yes.
Especially in the detailing culture because it's such a low entry job. Like you can just start with like $1,000. So you're just figuring out as you go and you're like, all right, something's happening. So let's go back and fix the issues that we kind of skimmed over.
Yeah. I think like one of the really good things, there's a lot of good things about me having the background and the time as an employee in the industry before. But one thing that I really took away was I watched them scale really big without that organizational structure, and trying to go back and fix it later was almost impossible.
Expensive.
Yeah, and very expensive. And I mean, it's like herding cats. You're just not gonna, it's, I don't know how you could. You can't either have to pause everything and start over, or like just, I don't know. And so from day one, like when it was just me and one technician, I had a process for something. Like we were working on that from day one.
Yeah.
And when the second store opened, it was just like click go, basically.
Copy and paste, right?
So yeah. And that's really been like, we don't want a copy and paste approach and like the aspect to that some of the like, you know, box stores will get, because we want to keep that human dynamic to it. But there's a lot that you can take from like figuring out a system, making it really simple and scalable, and then just keep doing it. So that way it's, you don't have to keep thinking about stuff. Yeah. So that's something that we learned from the beginning. And when I was the trainer, you know, I think that that job was, it was more of like they would only send me to the broken stores. So yeah, I didn't go to the stores that were doing well very often. If I did, it was like maybe filling in for somebody that was out. But I would go to the broken stores and I would go to the new stores and acquisitions and that stuff. And one of the things that I learned is the more that we can dial the systems in, the more that I can make sure that people figure out how to do things quickly and move on to the next person I have to train or onboard and, you know, pull performance up a lot faster. So those kinds of lessons I was able to carry over into our own business from day one. Really from before we opened. So
that's really cool. And it's really important to do. And, you know, again, that's kind of what we're going back to doing. And yeah, just getting those systems in place and just being able to train the people appropriately. I actually taught a really good friend of mine who is in IT, but he's also military and he likes to lead and things like that. So he kind of came by and we did like an impromptu interview and he kind of gave us some pointers and made us really uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things that like, I feel like I've really done a good job with my team if they can leave on time and not feel like their hair's on fire, because everything's been so consistent, especially in automotive repair. Like there's no 2 days are the same.
Oh.
We can only work on the same year, model, make, and, you know, type of car with the same problem and still everything would be very different. So like you have to learn processes that keep that chaos at bay.
That's really interesting. And obviously, you know, a question that a lot of people get, and I'm sure you get as well, is, being a female in the industry, how do you feel like that's helped in a positive manner? And how do you feel like it's been difficult?
Oh, this is my favorite question. it's my favorite. Once you can kind of get past like the, you know, everybody just kind of thinks that any man in the building is my husband or my father, or this is my husband's shop and I'm just, you know, running it and all that stuff. You get past that. I think there's a huge like space for women in this industry because for one, statistically, 70% of auto repair decisions are made by women, but nobody teaches us about it. Really? So, you know, before I knew anything, right after my divorce, I had no money, no job, had 3 boys and a minivan that was like, I don't know how that thing was still running. I wasn't like raised on like, here's how you fix your car.
Right.
And so I'm like, you know, newly single, and I knew I needed an oil change, and all I could like think of was, if I don't take care of this car and it blows up, I'm screwed, because that was my like life raft out, you know, like that's how I'm gonna get to work. That's how I'm gonna get the kids around. It's just me now. And so I took it to one of those, like those quick lube places where like the guy's underneath the car and he like yells up and all that stuff. super scary place. And they did the oil change, and I didn't even know, like, I didn't know there's different kinds of oil. Like, I remember he told me, like, you need the full synthetic. And I thought he was taking advantage of me, but I didn't know better. And so, because I was like, I just have a regular minivan, you know? And so he changed my oil and he told me it was leaking oil. And he, you know, I remember asking him, I'm like, how much time do I have? Because in my mind at that time, I was like, my car is going to explode.
Yeah.
And how am I going to get to work? And how am I going to take care of my kids? And like, I'm spiraling at that point. And so he was like, she's got a lot of miles on her, so you might want to start thinking about another car. So I actually took my kids. It was summer before, when I was still working at that restaurant, it was summer before I'd started working at the performance shop. And took my kids up to North Carolina to stay with my brother for 6 weeks. And then I worked 18-hour shifts every day so I could save up for another car. And I bought another car because I thought my car was going to explode. And I kept it. And my, I gave it to my brother for a little bit, and he delivered pizza in it for like a couple of years, and it never died. I never fixed that oil leak. It would have been like $200 to fix it, though. That's the crazy part. So, you know, just getting back to like, how is it to be a woman in this industry? I can meet people in that kind of situation and like show them like, hey, this is actually not that bad. It's not that scary. And this is men and women, because sometimes men come in and they're terrified too. And, you know, so that helps. Having like the people dynamic and the emotional intelligence, I think really helps as well, because there is a lot of psychology behind car repair. People like get, yeah, they get in their thoughts, they get in their feelings. They go and consult with Dr. Google and Dr. Facebook about what they should do with their car. And so being able to kind of educate them and empower them, that is like really fulfilling. And then, you know, on the employee side of things, I feel like I can relate really well to people because I can see from a different perspective. And there's a place for everybody in that, you know, not that scope of, you know, dynamics with people. But one of the things that I think is my superpower in this is that I can relate to people and kind of get on their level and connect with them and help them to build themselves up. And it's, you know, just inspiring people that maybe didn't think they could get into the industry. You know, there's over the last few years, there's been a couple of young women that I've been able to bring in as apprentices to work on cars. And now they're really good technicians making really good money, you know, and I love that I got to be a part of that. So it's something I think that more women should consider getting into. And the best part is like, I didn't know anything about cars when I got into it.
Yeah.
I had to learn all of it. Every time I would sell something, I'd go underneath the car with a technician and I'd be like, what is a control arm? They're like, it's that, you know? Yeah. So I learned everything bit by bit. Now, I mean, there's sometimes where, you know, the guys might be stumped on something and I'll throw, you know, a solution out there like Diag or something. And they're like, man, you're right. So I joke, I'll take over their job. But it's been fun to kind of just do something that's out of the ordinary and something that's different and kind of, like I said in the beginning, kind of create a niche here and do something out of what people would expect.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, the human variable and doing that connection with people is super important, especially in the automotive sector. Anywhere where it's expensive and people are scared, I think it's really important that you keep that bridge connected. I think that's great. And I mean, you know, we've talked on Facebook Messenger a couple of times, but this is really the most we've talked in person. And I can tell that you're very approachable and you're very just like, what's the word I'm looking for? Just good, like neutral. You know what I mean? You're approachable.
Yeah.
You're not intimidating by any means, which is good. Cause you know, I feel like some people, if they get a big head in any kind of industry, they're going to, you know, show it in their weight, that kind of thing. So I think you've done a really good job with that. That's awesome.
Thank you. I always want to stay humble. I will never finish learning everything.
Right.
And, you know, every time I feel like I've conquered something, there's something else behind it that I want to conquer. So I appreciate that because that's something that's really important to me. I've seen people let things kind of get to their head and change in a bad way. And there's a difference between like building confidence and cockiness. And I think sometimes people don't know what either one look like. And so the default is just cockiness, and it just makes you so difficult to be around once you get to that point. So,
absolutely, which is gross.
Yeah.
And it's
and most of them don't even realize it.
Right.
That's the worst part. They don't even realize it.
Yeah. So. Cool. So what's next for Wright Automotive? What do you guys? That's what it is, correct? Wright Automotive.
Wright Auto Works. Yeah.
Auto Works.
As long as you say Wright, we're good.
GHT.
So. Yeah, we're keeping on track to scale the shops. Last year was our first calendar year, and we hit some really good numbers. And we equipped both stores, like fully equipped both stores. So this year we're really focusing on just pushing market for both stores and expanding. I'm not racing for the next store. I want it to be, you know, in good time. But I think it's also one of those things that there is no good time. So, you know, we get asked all the time, like, when's number three coming? Yeah, it's just like kids. So, you know, there's always an opportunity out there, and it all comes down to like, what does our preparation look like? So we are, you know, always preparing for what the next move is. And, you know, long-term, we just want it to be something that we can scale wisely. Because I have seen businesses go too fast, and that's when things kind of just unravel, and I don't want that to happen. And at the same time, I don't want to go too slow because we're scared. So it's just a good balancing act.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. And I'm sure there's some people that I feel like you may look at and that have done it right, and that you can kind of go, you know,
oh yeah,
pick and choose from different people's success, you know?
Yep, for sure. Yeah. There's everything in life is a lesson. So it's either a warning or example. But you're always looking.
You're on your stuff with the statements.
I going back to trying to get a promotion over the years and, trying to just kind of build myself up. One of the things that I really invested in myself is just constantly just learning as much as I can, podcasts, motivational speakers, books, that kind of thing. It's like really digesting as much as I could to build myself up. Because, I don't know if it's overcompensating for not finishing school or just like I have this like almost spiteful like drive to do something if somebody says I can't. But just, I spent a lot of time over the last few years just like anything I could do to just make myself more empowered and like I equipping myself to get through some of those hardships. So been through some stuff for sure.
And it shows that, I always like to say, you're a product in your environment, so choose a quality product, right? So it's like we've all been through our stuff, so it's a matter of executing it well. And, prime example, our good friend Raymond, he's dyslexic, speech impediment, a little bit of jail time, all that kind of stuff. And he's come off the other end like so far better than, what he, what the statistics were against him kind of thing. So yeah, it can be done.
Yeah, I really can. I've got so many statistically, things that would have been, career killers for me or just like, as like I said, high school dropout, teen mom. I remember, growing up my family, when all these things started happening, I just let things kind of fall apart. There was a lot of like, you've ruined your life and, this is going to be so hard to overcome. And they weren't wrong, but they were also terribly wrong. One of the things I remember when I told my family that I was having my son, because I was 18 when I got pregnant with him and just barely turned 19, is, I'm not going to let this make my life harder. I'm going to let this be like the drive for me to make my life better for my son. And I think one of the things I've learned over the years is everything is hard, right? So if you want an easy life, then you have to do hard things. If you want a hard life, it's whatever, you have to choose your hard. So like, I just want to be in control of what my heart is. Yeah. So if I face something, then I'm just going to face it head on and be in control. It's on my terms instead of letting life happen to me and then dealing with the repercussions of it. I just face whatever I can and try to just stay in control of whatever I can possibly stay in control of. And like I said, some of it's a little bit spite of people telling me that I can't do it. That's like my like jet fuel. Yeah. You want to see me really like knock something out, tell me that you don't think I can do it. And like, I will high five you on the way. So it's something that, it maybe in the long run, I'll learn to kind of outgrow and be a little bit more healthy about it, but right now the triggers, I've just learned to transmute them into things that make my life better. So,
I think that's really well said and it's a good way to execute it. Like, I like that you said that it could probably be healthier, but there's always ways that we could be healthier, but the fact that you're going the direction that you are going and, whatever drives you, doesn't, it's going to be something,
Right.
I think you put it in a pretty healthy manner. There's a girl I had on here not too long ago. I saw on her Facebook the other day. It's like, if somebody sleeps on you, tuck them in. So that was one of the best.
I like that. Yeah. I do like that. That's a good one. Yeah.
But no, I think you're doing really well and I'm really excited to, see what's next, to see how you all scale. As far as what you guys do at the shop, and what all you do is, what is it? Is it a maintenance repairs type deal?
Yeah. Service maintenance repairs. We don't do performance. I scratched that itch at Markert and that was not fine in the long run. It is fine, but it's so pivotal. It's unpredictable. It's not efficient. You get people that they have these like really high expectations for their vehicle and like don't necessarily have the vehicle to meet those expectations. And whose problem is that? It ends up being mine and not yours, And there's too much risk. And so we just decided, let's just keep this like smooth and easy and do maintenance and repairs. Ironically, all of our cars are modified. But that's something like we understand the risk, right? And the average consumer does not. And so especially you get somebody that doesn't really understand how cars work and doesn't take care of them. And then they want to put more like strain on it. And then, you know, they're upset when things don't go well. It's just, I don't want to be a part of that. So you could do that in another shop. That's fine. But if you need brakes or you need control arms or you need me to reseal your oil pan so that you don't have to work 18-hour shifts and your kid's out of state, I can do that. And I can do that all day, every day. So
I love that. I love that statement. I love that pitch. I love that tenacity and that drive behind you. I think that's really, really cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously we're here because of you and the things that you've accomplished. And then obviously, you know, you have Black by your side, which I think is awesome. But I feel like your success is because of you and your independent drive to do things. But, you know, as a lot of people know, he recently went entrepreneur side, which I think is awesome. How is that for both of you under one roof, a family, busy?
It's crazy. I mean, nothing was ever like not crazy before. When he worked for UPS, I would see him like as he tucked himself back into bed at night because he worked such long hours. And so it's definitely something we've had to learn and adjust with. And, you know, we all are making sacrifices because starting two businesses in the same household at the same time is crazy. But we have a really good relationship and we always have. We've always been really good at tag teaming things. So, you know, there's times where, you know, he has to like encourage me because I'm just like, this is nuts. You know, it's hard. And then on the flip side, I do it with him. One thing that I have that he doesn't have is I have a team and he's doing it all by himself. So like he's putting in the work. And, you know, I'm really proud of him, but and I know like what he's going through has got to be really hard because I don't know what that feels like. I'm working with, you know, there's two or three of us that we can spread the work out, you know. So it's just it's very different. It's been interesting to kind of like divide the household responsibilities with four kids. And since he's working from home, I feel like, you know, by default, he has to take care of a lot of that stuff because I'm not here.
Yeah.
And so like I'm really grateful that he's able to do that. But we also like, you know, are trying to teach our kids like you can do your laundry. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you can. you know, and like just kind of doing what we can to make things work. But we all joke all the time when we have those hard days, we're like, one day we're gonna laugh and be like, do you remember when this was so hard for us? And you know, it'll be easy. So we know that's coming down the pike.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And again, having the vision and the roadmap to the success that you're driving. And again, like you said, having two other partners, I feel that can either be extremely amazing, which I feel like the way, you know, it's going for you. And I'm super happy to hear that because, you know, sometimes it's like it's a little sketch. I've been on the backside of that kind of stuff. So I'm really happy to hear and to take points away from, you know, everything that you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. The partnership thing is something that even before we signed paperwork or anything, we were on those meetings, like I said, for years. Our shop's only been open for 18 months. We've been meeting for 4 years. So we really got to know each other and make sure everything was a good fit. And, you know, it was Victor's idea to have three. So it was just me and Victor at first. But his idea was to have three so we have somebody that can kind of balance things. And so there's never, a, you know, you versus me. It's, you know, it's a 2-to-1. So we have like a tiebreaker if we need it and we haven't needed it yet, but it's nice to know that it's there and that we can kind of uncheck feelings if we need to. But we also just really get along really well.
Yeah.
And you know, there's always like things that we have to like compromise about, right? We have to talk about it, but we have, you know, so much communication through the years that now like we have that understanding where if, you know, if somewhere were to come up with an idea and I'm like, I don't know if that's going to work. Then we can talk about it and hear each other instead of just, you know, sometimes you get into situations where people just listen to respond. And, you know, at least we've worked through those patterns where we can talk about things and talk about the thought process and see it from different angles. And I think that helps a lot too. So
I feel like therapy. So
I'm sorry.
No, in a good way. I meant in a good way. I'm sorry. Sorry. I love the fact that, you know, you're talking about communication. Because that shit is important and not everybody gets it. And it's, you know, it's not always easy for people either.
Yeah. Yeah. No, trust me. This is like life. This is work. This is everything. It's really important. You know, it's just, I think if you were to really sit down with anybody, everybody just wants things to be well for everybody. Like nobody, your employees don't wake up in the morning and want to do a bad job. Your partner doesn't wake up and want to make you mad. Like, if they do, something's probably wrong with them, right? But usually I think most misunderstandings come down to just like either lack of or poor communication. So if you can just really work on communication just across the board and just, you know, I think people that are direct have like a bad connotation because we tend to put directness and confrontation in like this negative bucket. And to me, to be direct is to be really kind, right? If you were my employee or you're my friend or you're my partner, or you're my husband, whatever, and you're not doing something that I expect you to do, or like you're making me feel a certain way and I don't say anything, by me not telling you that, that is so unkind because I'm allowing myself to stop feeling happy at your expense and I'm not giving you a chance to fix it.
That's
right?
Amazing.
And so I think like communication is so big. it's big though. I early in my management career, that was a big lesson I had to learn because my boss, I thought I was doing a really good job and I was busting my ass every day. I was coming, like I would bleed blood for this company, right? And you know, do whatever they asked me to do. And it came down to like, I wasn't meeting their expectations and that hit me like out of left field. And it was heartbreaking, you know, so that was something that, going back to lessons and examples, that was something I was like, you know, no matter what, if I don't communicate to somebody and I just let things pile up and accumulate, like how do you fix that when it gets to a certain point? So communication is so big and keeping open communication is really big. Makes those big, scary conversations smaller comments, like back and forth comments. So it's not such a big mountain to climb up when you have to say something to somebody that's uncomfortable. Sam,
I love it. This has been so informative. It's been really, really good. And like being present and listening and paying attention and, you know, making sure I'm awake. But like, cause you know, you'll listen to the gurus online. Like you got what, Patrick Beth David, you got, you know, Grant Cardone, you got Gary Vaynerchuk, you got so many people. And like to me, it almost becomes debilitating. I'm like, oh fuck, I need 7,000 followers tomorrow. I'm going to do this and this. But like, to hear from a human that I interact with and see in the scene and in the culture, I think it's definitely more relatable and helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean because sometimes you're just like, you know, how do I build a platform where I can help other people? But it's just like maybe that one person you help can kind of make so much impact in their life that it just spreads out like wildfire. Words are hard. And so I just really just chase impact. You know, it doesn't have to be like a popularity contest or anything like that. But you can make somebody, like one person's life so much better, and that can have so much more weight than, you know, how many clicks and follows you get. So just chase impact, chase value.
I love that statement, chase impact. I think that's really cool.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's super, super exciting. I had another question. I can't remember what it was. It's been a crazy weekend. I don't know how it was for you as a host yesterday, but shout out to Joe and everything he does. Incredible show.
It was a really good show. Yeah, it was really fun. I missed it last year. We were actually doing the grand opening for the Charleston store at the same weekend. So I wasn't there for it last year, but it was a lot of fun. And he always does such a good job organizing car shows. Like all the other car shows I go to, me and Black are always like, man, Joe would have organized this better. Like it's nice because like he has a map, you know exactly where your booth is going to be. Like there's no like, where should the car park, what angle should it go. So he is like everything dialed in. There was even tape on the ground where your like booth is supposed to end. And like I don't know, like I hope Joe hears this, but like that always makes me so happy to see it, because I'll go to other shows and you sit there in line for an hour waiting for them to inch the cars over because they haven't figured out where everybody's going to go. And it's just so aggravating. So, yeah, no, he does such a good job. And he had a huge turnout, so I'm really happy for him.
It was great. I enjoyed the new layout. I know there's been a lot of different kind of feedback from it, but I liked it. It was a cool little setup. We're in a little corner. And then we had, I don't know what cars you would call that were kind of lined in the center of the circle, but it was a really cool layout.
He always does a good job. So,
now obviously, you know, you got Black and all of his content and all of his merch and things like that. Are you ever going to jump into the vendor section at shows under Wright?
I don't know. I go back and forth on that. I don't think it would be a bad idea. It just hasn't really been something I've done, you know, put the effort into yet. I've done it in the past for like previous employers, and it's been, you know, really good to kind of get out there and meet people. But I do enjoy doing it for Black and helping him with his merch, and just kind of getting to like pour into him because he helps me a lot with our shops. He's always helping like push us on social media and stuff. So it's kind of like my way of like, okay, you know, it's not nearly the same amount of work, but if I can help him sell some shirts, then I feel like I've at least done something.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah. So, but in the future, yeah, probably, especially the more locations we get where, you know, it doesn't matter like where we're located at the time, like there'll be people that can meet us in different markets. I think that'd be really cool. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's super, super exciting. I'm very, very excited for that. I am struggling with that. I'm not even gonna lie. Like I told you, entrepreneurship, man, it's crazy.
I do.
It's tough. But no, I'm really glad that y'all had fun at Southern Fresh. I can't remember what the question was, but yeah, shout out to the tape and all that kind of stuff. I think it really, really helped. We introduced a new product yesterday. It's actually a crate. It's called Citio Crate. And they're like, I don't know, if Apple made milk crates, I guess, like just a really well designed.
Oh, I saw this on your Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, and
that was really cool.
I put one down in front of my DP sticker, that tape that Joe had the hell for us yesterday, and did a little video. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it was super cool. And that's, you know, that's the thing about product wise, you know, is like trying to find the right stuff to distribute and bring to the market and things like that.
Yeah.
You guys ever going to do merch, tools, anything, private label?
Like with Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. I think right now my focus is more in like the education kind of field and just teaching people, you know, there's, like I said, there's been a couple of times that I've had, you know, young women and men come on as like apprentices and teaching them, you know, how to work on cars, and they kind of helping them to start their career. So I really enjoy being part of that. Just seeing somebody like get a chance to get into the field. That's really cool. I can't teach them how to work on cars, but I can put them in front of somebody that can. but I can try. But I don't know. That's a good question. I think, you know, as far as like products and stuff, because we don't really do performance, right, there's only so much that we could do.
Yeah.
But I do, you know, one of the things that we're starting to notice, at least in like the Loganville area, is like kind of changing the way that business is done in auto repair in the area. Just, you know, making people, forcing other shops to be more transparent because we are, and forcing people to have better customer service because we do. So I think that helps a lot too. Just, you know, that's not quite a product, but it's at least something that we can bring, you know, value to the community. So
that's huge, Samantha. And I totally agree with you. And it's, you know, I'm one of those guys that I don't have a modified car by any means. I don't have any crazy wheels. So when I go get my rotating balance, it's usually a discount tire. And I don't think there's anybody right. Set the bar higher than discount tire as far as customer service and efficiency.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I tell my guys, like, we need to be like Chick-fil-A, but in car repair. In fact, like I did training one time and I was like, don't be Popeyes. It got to be Chick-fil-A. So don't see me Popeyes, please. But it's, you know, customer service is so important and people don't realize how like much that matters no matter what you're doing. Like, remember, it's a scary thing. Remember, you know, when I was a single mom and they're telling me my car is going to explode, like their customer service wasn't bad, but it wasn't great, you know, and they weren't there to kind of catch me and be my soft landing, like, hey, here's a solution, you know, and I think that's important. But even down to like when you call to make an appointment somewhere, like, have you ever called the dentist and the girl on the phone or guy or whoever is just rude and like you're bothering them?
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't right. do that. And that's, you know, I tell my guys, like, be happy. Like, this is a scary thing for people. It's overwhelming. It's stressful. Like, be happy so they're not like kind of ease some of that stress for them. And that's something like we're really big on. And we get a lot of good feedback for it. So
that's good. And like I said, you know, you're a very approachable person and very easy to talk to. And it definitely helps with any setting because, like, I'll get nervous talking to new people. It seems like I'll talk to anybody, which I will. But there's still that, like, all right, how's the energy going to be? Is it going to bounce back? Is it going to be a nice tennis ball match? Or is it going to be really uncomfortable?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's I had to learn how to come out of my shell because, like, if you met me a few years ago, I was so introverted. And there are some days, like, the weekend, sometimes I have to plug my battery in and, like, not talk to anybody, right? But I've learned, like, just, you know, just be happy and be, like, you know, positive and like try to keep the stress at bay. People feed off your energy. So if you're like really insecure, right? That's usually where the unapproachable comes from, is people are insecure. So they put off this like hard defense wall. And we see it as cockiness, and they see it as like they're scared. So they're trying to overcompensate for something, but then nobody wants to interact with them. And then they think everybody just is mean or hates them or they suck or whatever, right? And it all comes down to just like feed the energy you want to get back. You know, if I want somebody to be nice to me, I'm going to be nice to them. Yeah. And if I'm like, you know, nasty with somebody or like just bitchy or something, they're going to do it back to me. And I can't be mad because people feed off that energy.
Yeah. Very well said. And somebody that for me that gives a lot of energy that I always feel like I have to match is Wooly with S3 Magazine. I don't know if you got to interact with him yesterday or not, but super cool guy. His energy.
Yeah, I was stuck in the booth. I was selling t-shirts. My boss wouldn't let me off.
Oh, man. Isn't that the worst? It happens.
I know. No breaks. I haven't interacted with him, but I did listen to his interview with you. And I've always, like, you can just kind of tell from looking at, you know, him on social media and stuff. Yeah. He looks like he's a pretty happy, like, energetic person. You can tell.
Very much so. He is a very motivated and energetic and passionate. That's the word I was looking for. Passionate person that just... Yeah, he just exudes it big time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, people feed off of that. You know, it's even like the teachers, my kids' teachers sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, teachers have a very difficult job. I will not discount that. I don't know. I was a preschool teacher for a year, and there's a reason why I only did it for a year. It's a hard job. But there's sometimes when, you know, the teachers, they'll, you know, if they call home or something and they have to talk about, you know, what's going on at school or, you know, give you a report or do a conference. Like if they are just like really stressed and like hate everything, my kids, I can tell because they complain about it. You know, it's like I'm a big, big proponent of like feed the energy you want to get back, because it just makes life so much easier if we're all just like relaxed and positive. Life doesn't have to be so difficult. We all go through hard days. Even the people you think that have such a good life, they have hard days. So.
Yeah, very, very well said. And that's what my girlfriend tells me all the time. She's like, Justin, it doesn't have to be hard. I'm like, well, I feel like if I'm not struggling, stressed out, then I'm not doing something right. It's terrible.
That's actually a trauma response, ironically, because you feel like you're like safe in that space and you feel like you're like productive. And so you basically connect productivity with like hardship, and so you make things hard so that you can feel productive. So that's something I've had to work on, because especially like you start scaling things and I'm not like getting my hands dirty all the time, there's no shame in that. And you know, like elevating out of that and like promoting yourself past that, there's no shame in that. You're still valuable. So but yeah,
Haven't had an episode where I got choked up, but you know, first time for everything. Smith, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry. It's like therapy again. No, this is all stuff I've had to go through myself, you know, and it's, one thing that I've really been passionate about, especially the last couple of years, is you see, you know, shop owners or business owners, and you know, nobody's going to put off any kind of facade that they're not doing well, right? Nobody. But you see these people that we put on these like high pedestals and you think like they must have everything going right. They don't.
Yeah.
I promise you, they don't. You get better at coping with stuff. But so I just, you know, just try to be real about it. You know, like I still have hard days. I still like have like, what the hell am I going to do moments, you know? And you have to have a good team around you to help you get through them. And you have to have a good head on your shoulders and like good coping mechanisms to get through it. But it doesn't matter how successful you are. You don't escape hardship. You don't escape like challenges. You just, and in fact, you probably have more of them, if we're being honest. You just get better at handling it and better at like getting through it, and don't let it like get your mind tangled up. You know, just let it like, let's move through it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I love it. Very well said. And it's totally true. It's like, you know, I almost get tired of like having to figure it out, right? But it's, yeah, like you said, it's no matter what level of the business you on, there's always figuring it out. There's always pivoting. There's always creating something new. There's always, you know, economic pushback or client pushback or whatever it may be. So there's always going to be pivoting. And I remember working like a lot one time, which I constantly do, but I was like, man, I was like trying to find the end. I'm like, there's no finish line, Justin. There is no, just keep freaking going. So that's where it's important, where you got to rest and chill and, you know, do a podcast on a Sunday night before Monday morning. You know, it's just things that you got to do.
Yeah, it's, you got to balance. You definitely have to, like, I have to put like bumper guards in place for myself. Like, one of the things I do, because I'm one of those people that when I start thinking about something, like, sometimes it's hard for me to slow my brain down. So one of the things I do is I don't put my shop management system, it's not on my phone at all. My email's on my phone. So if like something's an emergency, I'll get an email. But that means like I have to see the email and go, is this worth me going to my computer to look at? And so I've had people say, well, what do you mean you don't have it? You're a business owner. You should be able to see your stuff at all times. It's not going anywhere. Like, it's still there. You know, if it's an emergency, I'll get a call if I need to, you know, if my team can't figure it out. You know, if I have a customer that's like upset on a Saturday, well, guess what, buddy? I open on Monday morning. You know, your problem will still be there. And I don't mean that in like a crass way or anything, but like, I have to have that balance. Otherwise, you'll just pour out. And you have nothing left to give to anybody later. So those are things that I did from day one. You know, going back to working a lot, I do work long hours, so I will come home and work. But I purposely put my daughter in daycare by the store so that I have to go pick her up. It has to be me. So I have to leave on time. I can't be late. Otherwise, they lock her up in baby jail and I got to pay all that money to get her out. So So that was something else that I did to just kind of keep myself disciplined and make sure like there's boundaries, because I think one of the most common things I see with entrepreneurs is like they just burn from both ends, and then you burn out and then you hate it. And I don't want that to happen. So it's something I had to kind of police myself from, and it's still work in progress. I mean, like I said, I'll come home and work at my computer at night and I'm like, you know what? I need to clock out. So there's definitely balance. So
good for you. That's really awesome. And I love the fact that you don't have your software on your phone, because I definitely do over here. And I'm just like, it's tough. You know, I'm not giving excuses, but like for us doing mobile detailing, right? It's like, I try to sit down with the clients the day before. And so if I didn't have the software, then I wouldn't get the notification that we need to change the schedule. And our first appointment is 7 a.m. So there's a big domino effect if things are in place. But now got me thinking of a way to try to adjust that.
Give it to somebody else. Yeah. Delegation is your friend. Yeah. So give that to somebody else, or make a CRM maybe that can do it. So, but yeah, it's hard. There's definitely balance. So.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I love the fact that you know, the baby jail thing, I think that's a great way to, you know, keep yourself in balance too.
Yeah. 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 I knew from like day one I had to do that, just because otherwise it will suck you in. I watched it with my old boss. I watched it happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not fair to my kids. You know, they didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
So, and they definitely put up with a lot of sacrifice with me starting the shop, you know, because we started the shop and I took a huge pay cut to do it. Mm-hmm. And so there's some sacrifices. Now my kids are not like, they don't do without, like, they're spoiled, honestly. If they grew up how I grew up, they would never complain. But like, you know, things like vacations and stuff like that had to kind of come down to bare minimum, and I feel bad sometimes, but at the same time I know that they get to see like what we've done, and it will be worth it, and they know that. So but you have to balance things, because they still need me and I still need me. You know, I can't just pour into everybody else, because then I won't have anything left. So you can't pour from an empty cup. And that's, I've had to learn that as well. You know, had some really hard times where I didn't balance it as well as I should have. And it's hard to come back from that. So.
Awesome. Samantha, you are amazing. You are definitely, you got a lot going on and you got a lot of layers. I love it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's just years of trauma. That's all it is.
In your boat. But you're working, right? You're working through it. You're using it to overcome and to do better.
Yep. Always. My early on, after, like right after my divorce, it was really like nasty and it was hard. I remember like thinking to myself, like, if I'm going to go through this, then I'm going to help somebody avoid it. And that's just kind of been my mantra just in everything. Because if it's going to make me cry and it's going to make me hurt, and then if I can save somebody else from going through that, then I feel like it wasn't a waste. And so if I can share it with somebody, you know, things I've gone through, just be honest about things and transparent and like make it, you know, feel relatable, like you said, then, you know, it doesn't feel so bad. It feels like I did it, you know, for a purpose. Yeah. And, you know, that feels more fulfilling than just, you know, licking my wounds and moving on. So.
That's awesome. Very well said and very mature of you. You know what I mean? Again, I don't know you very well other than this episode, which is I feel like I'm your best friend now. But I really appreciate the growth and the vulnerability and just being who you are and being authentic.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it goes a long way. And before we hop out of here, where can everybody find you?
Like social media or?
Yeah, the business website, whatever you want to give.
Yeah, so our website's rightautoworks.com, and we spelled right, W-R-I-G-H-T, and we spelled works, W-O-R-K-S. We get that a lot because we're a Euro shop. So who knew that spelling it correctly would confuse everybody? So rightautoworks, we also have social media, so rightautoworks on Facebook and Instagram. And then I don't really have anything special going on my personal Facebook, which you can always find me. And you'll see lots of baby pictures and kids pictures and motivational quotes and stuff like that. They're usually posted for me. You just get to see them too. But yeah, you can find me anywhere. So
that's awesome. Everybody, don't forget, letsgrow.work, hashtag LFG fam, where success is in the details. Samantha, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.